Welcome, everyone, to the End Zone. Now, normally you would hear myself, Kyle, and one Kevin the Raider Nerd Reitzel with me, but as is accordance with new Raiders NFL rules, anything Raiders must be traded. So he is no longer Kevin the Raider Nerd Reitzel. He is Kevin the Buffalo Bill Reitzel, as he was traded for a conditional 7th round pick. So welcome to the show, Kevin Buffalo Bill Reitzel.
Correction. It's a 7th round pick, a bag of chips. I think a button up dress shirt and whatever. There's a fire sale going on right now, Raiders. So yeah. I'm gonna try and fight this trade though. I don't wanna be known as the Buffalo Bill Kevin. So yeah, while we're doing this show, I'm gonna be talking to my agent about changing this. So don't get too set on this trade. You know,
that's right. You have that same agent Aaron Rodgers has in the State Farm's commercials, don't you?
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah.
Don't be surprised if we report more trades while the show is going on. I'm just saying. Same trade deadline is almost here, but of course, it is the latest edition of the End Zone, where we're gonna take a quick look back at Week 7, as well as a look ahead to Week 8, bring you all the latest news, and of course, our top notch mediocre fantasy football advice. But before we do that, I'm going to let everybody know where they can find not only the End Zone, but all the great shows here on the Fandom Podcast Network. And it starts with our master feed at fpnet.podbean.com. That is our homepage, where not only can you find the End Zone, but you can find all the other great shows on the Fandom Podcast Network. And for those of you using the mobile device, you can use the Podbean app, or you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, or if you're using an Android device, Google Play. Of course, you can also find our Facebook page, Fandom Podcast Network, and you can email us and let us know how we're doing at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com, or you can find us on Twitter at @FanPodNetwork. And of course, you know, if you want to find me on social media, you can find me on Twitter at @AKyleW or on Instagram at @AKyleFandom. Kevin, where can people find your Buffalo Billness on social media these days?
No. Come on. I'm worth more than a 7th round pick. Come on. At least get me up to like a 3rd round pick and maybe a conditional 5th or something like that. That would be really?
Breaking news. Breaking news. Kevin Reitzel has been traded yet again. He is now Kevin the Arizona Cardinal Reitzel, and he was traded for a 7th round pick in the 2025 NFL draft.
Why so long? Well, at least it's closer to Oakland. A little warmer, too.
All right. And we're still working on this. We're still working on this, man. Yeah. I don't know where I'm going. By the end of the show, I don't know where I'm going to be, so.
Yeah. So where can people find Kevin Arizona Cardinal Nerd on social media?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at @Spartan_Phoenix. Kevin Arizona Nerd Reitzel.
Cardinal Nerd Reitzel in the house. That sounds almost religious. We might want to get you traded again sooner than later. So before we do anything, let's take a look back at Week 7, because your new current team started off the week and you got beat down by the Denver Broncos on Thursday Night Football. It was ugly.
The Arizona Cardinals did get beat down. Yeah. Let's make sure we revisit this game during the fantasy segment.
Yeah, we were going to talk about that. Moving on to London, England, Los Angeles Chargers defeated the Tennessee Titans 20-19 in actually a very competitive game that came down to the final play of the game as the Titans went for 2 and fell just short.
I also want to revisit this game during the fantasy segment because I have a big issue with this game.
Of course, the Patriots beat the Bears as the Bears fell 1 yard short from sending this game into overtime.
Yeah, yeah. Well, how did Mac do? Did Khalil Mack play? Because I knew he was a little injured going in there.
He played, but he was definitely not 100%. You could tell he was limping a lot. So.
Gotcha.
The Indianapolis Colts laid the beat down on the Buffalo Bills, and we're going to talk about this game in fantasy, too, because, you know, there was this guy named – another guy named Mac.
Yes. The Colts won 37-5, so a field goal and a safety, huh?
Yep. Wait. This just in, the Arizona Cardinals have traded Kevin Cardinal Nerd Reitzel to the Jacksonville Jaguars for Blake Bortles.
Damn it!
He is now Kevin, The Jaguar nerd writes, and he was traded for Blake Bortles.
But I was immediate. But apparently, I'm going to be immediately benched. So there's that.
Well, yeah, well, there is that. And speaking of the Jaguars, they lost to the Houston Texans in the battle for the AFC South lead. The Texans won their fourth game in a row, and they won 20-7. It was ugly for Blake. He was benched. He will be back starting, though, because Jacksonville goes to London. And what do we know about Blake Bortles in London?
He balls in London.
He is Sir Blake Bortles in London.
Yes.
He won't be going to London because he's been traded to the Arizona Cardinals for Kevin, the Jaguar nerd, Reitzel. But the Detroit Lions, getting better every week. Kerryon Johnson is the real thing, I think, at running back for them.
Yep.
As they defeated the Miami Dolphins 32-21. The Minnesota Vikings looking like they're getting their ship together and doing a little Viking
punting. I see what you did there. Ship together. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. As they took care of the New York Jets, 37-17.
Hold on. Can we talk? No, I'm going to wait till later. Never mind.
Yeah, we should probably wait till later. the Carolina Panthers, with a massive 14-point comeback in the fourth quarter, beat the Philadelphia Eagles 21-17.
I was watching that game.
Wait. Breaking news. The Jacksonville Jaguars have traded Kevin Jaguar Nerd Reitzel to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for kicker Chandler Castanaro. I don't, you know.
Well, at least they'll be closer to you, so that's good.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to make some calls about that. But
so, is that still a seventh round conditional pick in 2025?
Well, no. It looks like, well, you were traded for a kicker.
Oh, is that a good thing?
I don't know. The way the NFL kickers are this year, we'll get to that in a minute too. In fact, we'll get to that right now as the New Orleans Saints beat the Baltimore Ravens 24-23. And I think we might be partly responsible for this because last week we said Justin Tucker was the only kicker in the league that was actually still kicking. And he missed the first extra point of his career at the end of the game that would have sent the game to overtime.
He was, it says here, he was 222 for 222.
Yeah.
Wow.
The jinx. Was in. And
hold on. Now that was the game, too, that now proudly that Drew Brees can say, I've beat every single NFL team now.
Yes, exactly. And in the battle for first place in the NFC East, the Washington Redskins hand the Dallas Cowboys a 20-17 loss and take control of the NFC East and put the Cowboys into panic mode, which we'll talk about in the news. The LA Rams are by far the best team in football as they just keep chugging along and they handle the San Francisco 49ers 39-10.
Mm-hmm.
Sunday night, the Patrick Mahomes show just continues on as Kansas City bounces back from their first loss of the season and destroys the Cincinnati Bengals 45-10.
They're going to be changing the name of that program. Have you heard about this?
Is it going to be the Showtime Mahomes from now on?
No, they're going to call it the weekly Chris Hollings, whatever his last name is, Man Crush.
Chris Collinsworth
Man Crush Sports Show. That's what it's going to be called.
Gotcha. Oh, speaking of which, we have another trade.
Oh, man. I'm just going to keep my bag in my hand the whole time here.
Yeah. Kevin the Raider Nerd Reitzel has been traded to NBC. To join the broadcast team of Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth.
Oh, my God. That's like the worst trade ever. Oh, God.
Apparently,
stand next to Chris.
Apparently, he was traded for old Seinfeld reruns on NBC.
Oh, God. That's not a good trade. I'm not even worth that. Wow. Can I be the person on the sideline then, where I don't have to be in the same room with Chris? That'd be great.
We'll see what the contract says about that. And on Monday night, the New York Giants fall again, as they've only won four games in their last 20 game, four of their last 24 games. Kevin, they're 4-20 in their last 24 games, as they fall to the Atlanta Falcons 23-20, and maybe some of the worst end of game clock management I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. On a side note, Beckham fastest to reach 5,000 receiving yards since 1970 merger.
And, of course, teams on bye, the Seattle Seahawks, the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Green Bay Packers, and really nobody noticed, but so were the Oakland Raiders.
You know, it's interesting, though. We still found a way to lose during the bye.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, wait. We have another trade. NBC has traded Kevin, NBC Nerd Reitzel, back into the NFL as he will be going to, are we sure about this? The London Monarchs? Of the year NFL, returning NFL Europe? Okay, that's news to me, but okay, so he's Kevin the Monarch Nerd Reitzel now, ladies and gentlemen.
Can I please be traded to the Deep Space Nine Niners? I'd appreciate that. That'd be great.
I don't know, you're racking up some serious frequent flyer miles this week. So let's go to the NFL news, Kevin, because your Raiders definitely made a big piece of news this week.
Hold on. When are we gonna do the power rankings? Are we waiting until after the news?
Yeah, no, we can do the power ranking. Let's do the power rankings.
Yeah, let's do the power rankings.
I know people
want to hear about the other trade thing, but let's do the power rankings.
Well, okay, so
and we got the current. I got want to review the current standings too, because this is
okay.
I want to mention something about that.
Okay, well, let's do the power rankings and we'll go over the standings.
Okay.
So by the CBS Sports Power Rankings, we've got the Los Angeles Rams, the only undefeated team in the league at number one. I think this is pretty clear cut.
Yes, I agree.
New Orleans Saints at 5-1 with the best record in the NFC, or not second best record in the NFC, excuse me, coming in at number two. Number three, the New England Patriots. Number four, Kansas City Chiefs. I think basically two through four are basically interchangeable at this point, Kevin.
Yes, right now I would agree. Yeah, I was gonna debate whether or not KC should be above the Patriots right now, but because Patriots beat them, I'll go with that. But I would agree with that.
Yeah. Coming in at number five, the Los Angeles Chargers. Number six, the Justin Tucker missing Baltimore Ravens. Number seven, the surprisingly now first place Pittsburgh Steelers. No, the Vikings should be ahead of them as they are Vikings come in at number eight, leading the NFC North. At number nine, the Redskins. Rounding out the top 10, the Carolina Panthers with their comeback against Philly. 11, the Green Bay Packers. 12, the Cincinnati Bengals. 13, the four straight win Houston Texans. Number 14, a team I'm kind of keeping my eye on, get better every week, the Detroit Lions. And then after that, I'm not impressed with anybody. And just for the record, the Raiders are in at 30, so they are still not at the bottom of the pile, Kevin, so you have followed some of that.
I had goals, man. I was really looking to try and get down there, but I guess Cardinals are taking that one. So
you're working on that.
It was nice to be part of that team for a few seconds, though. That was nice.
Yeah. So let's talk about the standings. Let's look at the AFC. The AFC East, you've got New England at 5-2 in first place, Miami in second place at 4-3. The New York Jets at 3-4, and bringing up the rear, the Buffalo Bills at 2-5. And what did you have something to say there, Mr. Reitzel?
Well, I thought we'd go back and forth here. AFC North, we've got Pittsburgh at 3-2, Cincinnati at 4-3, Baltimore at 4-3. That division is up for grabs right there.
Well, and get it right, Pittsburgh is 3-2-1.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry, 3-2-1. Cleveland 2-4-1, and then you got AFC South.
The division nobody wants, apparently. You've got the Houston Texans at 4-3 after starting 0-3. Tennessee Titans at 3-4. The Jacksonville Jaguars at 3-4. And the Indianapolis Colts at 2-5.
Oh, the AFC West. Your Kansas City Chiefs at 6-1. Chargers at 5-2. Broncos at 3-4. And Oakland Raiders at 1-15.
Oh, wow. You're already going that far. I was going to have them get at least one more win just out of dumb luck, but... In the NFC, in the East, the Washington Redskins are 4-2. The Philadelphia Eagles are 3-4. The Dallas Cowboys are 3-4, and the New York Giants are 1-6.
NFC North, Minnesota 4-2, Green Bay 3-2, Detroit and Chicago at both 3-3.
Add those ties in for Minnesota and Green Bay because they tied each other.
Yeah, that's true.
So in the South, you've got New Orleans at 5-1. Carolina at 4-2, Tampa Bay at 3-3, and the Falcons at 3-4.
And last but not least, the NFC West, and we have the Rams definitely commanding that division at 7-0. Seattle behind them at 3-3, and Arizona and San Francisco both have 1-6 records. The reason I wanted to bring this up is that it seems like there's sometimes I forget to look at the standings. You know, when it comes to, with all the fantasy football that we do and just keeping track. And I wanted to kind of revisit the with the division leaders because, you know, we just finished up week 7. We're going into week 8 now. And I'm looking at these things here. And, you know, when we were making kind of like observations after the first few games, we were kind of counting out some teams. Like Houston was one of those teams we were kind of counting out, but now they're at 4-3. Pittsburgh, we're wondering, like, are they going down to the dumps here? Is it going to be Cincinnati and Baltimore? But nope, they're up there, the division right now. And so what I want to ask you was, is there any, looking at the week 8 mark here, is there anything that's surprising you?
I am a little bit surprised, actually, that Cincinnati at 4-3 is surprising. They've been playing better football than I thought. The mess that is the AFC South is a little surprising. I thought Houston and Jacksonville were a little bit higher up than the other two. Washington and the NFC East, I'm very surprised by that.
Yeah, me too. Philadelphia at 3-4 at this time really surprises me.
And you said last but not least when you were talking about the NFC West. No, you were right. It is last but least. You look at the teams in that division, outside of the Rams, it's not pretty. So Seattle's kind of, surprisingly, I got to give Seattle credit to be 3-3 considering all the changeover they've had this season.
The one thing I wanted to mention too is who has the top tier defense right now? Because it's definitely not Jacksonville. Baltimore. It's definitely not the Rams. The Rams are getting scored upon. They're just scoring more points. Is it Chicago? Is it Denver?
I'm going Baltimore.
Baltimore?
They held the Saints to 24 points.
Yeah.
I think it's Baltimore. I think the Rams defense, you can't, there's a consideration you have to take in is, for the most part, the Rams have had such big leads going into the fourth quarter that they start playing a lot of secondary of their backups.
Okay. I just wanted to bring that up because, you know, it seems like during certain points of the year, I got to remind myself what the standings look like. And, some of these things kind of jump out at me. So.
Yeah. So let's get to the NFL news now that we've talked about the standings. Right. And let's talk about, I think right now is one of the top stories is, of course, the trade deadline is coming up. So we got a few trades that happen. But to me, none bigger than your Oakland Raiders taking advantage of Jerry Jones yet again panicking and needing a receiver and trading a number one pick to the Raiders for Amari Cooper. Kevin, I got to give it to your boys, whether it was Gruden or McKenzie or whatever, whoever's going to take credit for it. I think they kind of fleeced Dallas here because at the most I would have not offered anything more than a number two pick for Amari Cooper.
It's funny. It's interesting that you say that because the first reaction by a lot of these so-called analysts, you know, whether they're on ESPN or NFL, they thought that, that this was a good trade, you know, for Dallas, you know, cause they, you know, when you watch NFL or ESPN, they love covering Dallas. And, of course, when the Raiders are down, they just love piling it on the Raiders. So it's one of those things where, like, you know, a lot of people are forgetting what the Raiders are acquiring now. And if you've been paying attention as a Raiders fan, Amari just wasn't cutting it. You know, and a lot of people, you know, yeah, they're just kind of looking at fantasy numbers for this year. But there's been a lot of criticism on him, not dropping balls. Of course, last year was a bad, bad thing that he was doing. He was dropping a lot of balls. But he just wasn't, I don't think he wanted to be there. Not necessarily be a Raider, but some people were saying, like, he didn't really seem like he wants to be in the NFL. It's just kind of a job thing. But, you know, he was supposed to ball out this year because if, you know, next year he's supposed to get paid, you know, and right now is he worth, you know, what's the average, like 12 to 15 million for your receivers right now, 13, I think it was, or whatever.
Well, he's going to get that now because I can't see Dallas trading a number one pick and then not signing him to a contract.
Yeah. But it's like, he's not worth that right now, at least not to the Raiders. He was. Okay. And
yeah, I gotta ask you something about this because now it's pretty much well known that pretty much almost anybody on the Raiders is available in a trade. And there's been some interesting things coming up, Kevin, where, and I've got to ask you this as a your veteran players. And I understand because there's been talk of this. There was actually a post on The Athletic where apparently unnamed Raiders have Raiders who said they would be willing to say something, but not get named, which is a cheap move anyway. But I can understand where a veteran is. They got to feel like they're looking over their shoulder a little bit right now until this deadline hits.
Yeah, there's truth to all that. You know, I mean, the Raiders and Gruden were criticized for bringing in a lot of veterans because, you know, they were apparently the oldest team once the season started. But there's a learning curve there that, you know, at least Gruden and coaching staff believe that that they can help with our young rookies and nurture them faster, you know, and help them with their leadership or whatever it may be. And having some experienced players is always a good thing. But yeah, I mean, it's going into this season, obviously, a lot of these veteran players had more high hopes that the team would be more competitive. Of course, at the time, they didn't know that Mac was going to be traded and or anything. But once the team started, you know, after the Mac trade and then the team started losing, maybe started realizing what they had and injuries piling up as well. It's definitely rebuilding. Fire sale, maybe. What team am I on now?
You're still on the London Monarchs, but we're going to get to that in a few minutes. I have something I want to throw at you. I guess here's the one thing, though. I guess you can't even really say necessarily veteran players because all the two names I hear biggest in trade rumors are your last two first-round draft picks and Carl Joseph and Conley, the cornerback, Arian Conley.
Yeah, that's definitely – everyone's up for trade. I told you last week. Everyone's up for trade. You know, even the rumors about Carr are going on right now, you know. Yeah. And so it's one of those things where I could see them wanting to – I think they're going to hold on to Carr at least for another year.
Yeah.
But if Carr ain't doing it, you know, he's – what is he in his fifth year now?
Well, interesting thing I found out is if the Raiders cut Carr after the June 1st league year, the pit on the salary cap for next year is only $2.5 million.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because of the clause in his contract.
Yeah, so interesting stuff. I got another Raiders thing I want to throw at you later. It's a theory I heard on the radio, but I want to wait. Let's get the news in. Another trade, another first-round pick, a former top 10 pick, Eli Apple, cornerback New York Giants, traded to the Saints. I'm not shocked by this. Eli Apple has not been welcome in New York since he got there. He's made some stupid comments. He said a lot of things last year that got him in trouble. Him going to the Saints is probably the right environment. Winning team, a strong coach in Sean Payton. One of his peers from Ohio State and one of his teammates, Marshawn Lattimore, also plays in that secondary. So, and Eli Apple, he's not been spectacular, but he's been a solid cover corner. He's been reliable. So I think this is a nice move for the Saints to add to their defense.
Yeah, they're rolling right now, and if anything needs a little more fixing, is their defense. So yeah.
Yeah, and speaking of teams rebuilding, because the Giants are definitely up in that list with the Raiders, as they made another trade, sending defensive tackle Damian Snacks Harrison, who was a Pro Bowler a couple of years ago and considered one of the better run stoppers in the league, to the Detroit Lions for some conditional draft picks. That's going to save the Giants almost $8.5 million on their salary cap too.
Another team that's got to start thinking about quarterback change and rebuilding.
Yeah, big time. And then there was a trade last week that happened after we recorded, I actually think was pretty significant. That was Carlos Hyde to the Jaguars. He didn't play for the Jacksonville because he was acquired on Friday. But this obviously tells me that Leonard Fournette is a little bit more injured than what they say. And it also opened the door for second-round pick in Cleveland, Nick Chubb, to become the starter there.
Yeah. Yeah, they're going all out on Nick Chubb, basically, I think. And I don't know what they're going to do with Duke Johnson.
Yeah, I think he'll be still in the mix because I think he's too valuable in a third down back type role. But let's talk about some injuries because there's been a bunch of them in the last week here, Kevin.
Yeah.
Well, let's start with the New York Jets, who have placed running back Bilal Powell on injured reserve with a neck injury. So severe that they're saying it's a possibility it's a career-ending injury for the 29-year-old veteran.
Yeah, that sucks. And he's been with the team his whole career too, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
So
that's, you know, he's been pretty reliable. You know, he hasn't been like fantastic, but he's been pretty reliable. So that sucks. You know, that to go out on an injury like that.
Yeah. A few other injuries to note. Leonard Fournette still nursing that hamstring. He's not going to be back anytime soon, ladies and gentlemen. At least I'd say at least another 3 to 4 weeks. Philadelphia Eagles defensive end Derek Barnett is out the rest of the season. Dalvin Cook is going to be sitting again this week as Minnesota is not going to risk that lingering hamstring
injury. I think
injury.
They're going to wait till after their bye week in week 11 to bring him back to make sure he's safe, because their bye week is week 10.
Yeah, and Latavius Murray is playing some good football for them right now.
Yeah, so, I mean, for us, like myself, that drafted him in a couple of leagues, it's been very frustrating. You know, it's one of those things where, like, all right, well, just make sure he's healthy, because, you know, fantasy playoffs, you know, start kicking in. So hopefully he'll be good to go after that bye week.
And finally, Raiders running back Marshawn Lynch, probably done for the season as he was placed on IR. He'd be eligible to return in week 16. I can't imagine that. I got to ask, Kevin, is this Marshawn Lynch's – have we seen the last of Marshawn Lynch in a Raiders uniform?
I'll answer that. But first I want to say this is how you lose during the bye week.
Yeah, exactly.
IR, he can come back the last week. He's stated that he's not going with the Raiders to Las Vegas. And I think it's very possible that we may have seen him not only last time as a Raider, but I think that might have been his last game.
Yeah. Now, since we're talking about the Raiders, Kevin, this is actually a serious thing, and I have a question about this because I don't think it's going to happen. Let me make this perfectly clear. But I heard an interesting theory on the radio that somebody threw out. And it was dealing with the fact that the Raiders are very popular in London. And I know there is an issue next year with the Raiders in Oakland Stadium in Vegas. And the NFL has been talking for years about putting a team in London. Outside shot, this person on the radio suggested, could the Raiders be at least a year in London as an experiment to see how it would actually work?
My first reaction to that is I know some very good friends of mine over there in the UK that would love that. You know, that's the first time I've heard about that. The biggest rumors that I have heard where the Raiders are going to play next, and I'll answer your question about the London thing. But the two biggest things right now is that they may end up ponying up the $3.5 million rent, whatever it is, to play at that crappy O.co stadium for one more year next year in Oakland. The other one was actually going to San Diego.
Yeah, I have heard that one.
For the
well.
1 year. I think that would be nice because it keeps them in California if they can't. Don't do Oakland, and there's so many Raider fans down there that would love that as well. As for the London thing, this is the first time I've heard of this. It would be interesting. I think this is more of a what if type of thing scenario, just because of where the Raiders are. I don't see it happening. If it were to happen, though, it would be interesting to see how London would support a team week in and week out. That would be interesting.
Yeah. I think if it were to happen, the Raiders are actually a very good candidate to do this because, one, I think the NFL would say, okay, we're going to cover all of your expenses to relocate to London for a year. And, you know, throw the Raiders some extra money, which, of course, if you go by some of the rumors out there, Mark Davis could probably use a little extra money right now. But, again, I don't think it's going to happen, but I think it is an actually interesting thing because the Raiders are quite popular over in London when they go over there.
They are, but I think the most popular team is the Jaguars.
Yeah, so just something to throw out there. I was curious of your take on it.
I would be very happy for a lot of my friends over there in the UK, Stevie and the guys of the Silver and Black UK as well, Keith, Kelly, and all those guys over there. They would love that. That would be weird, though, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would be a little weird, but it'd be a year, and I think it would be because NFL has been talking about putting a team there for a while.
But the thing though is, they're not ready for that right now, and they will not be ready for that in a year, because of the scheduling. If they're going to have a team in London, which they're looking at doing sometime in the future, you have to really organize the football schedule around that, because you can't have, it's one of those things where you'll probably have to play a stretch of more home games and then have a long stretch of away games. So that
I would think it'd be like something like a 3-3.
Yeah, where you stay in the States and travel somewhere from game to game, something like that. But with the current schedule and stuff like that, I don't think that's gonna happen.
One last AFC West piece of news is our good friends the Denver Broncos don't have a backup quarterback at the moment, as they have cut backup quarterback and nephew of NFL Hall of Famer Jim Kelly, Chad Kelly, after he had quite the interesting arrest the overnight.
He pulled a Robert Downey Jr., right?
Basically, yeah. He went into a person's home that he had no idea was. He was apparently highly intoxicated after a party hosted by Von Miller of the Denver Broncos. He got beat out of the house with a vacuum hose and apparently was sitting back at the location of Von Miller's party waiting for the officers there to come arrest him. So...
Oh, stupid players. Gosh. Dumb.
One other injury, too. It looks like Dolphins wide receiver Albert Wilson is going to be out for at least a good portion of the remainder of the season with a hip injury.
Yeah, this guy was making some long plays, man. And he was fast, too. So that's too bad. I know he torched the Raiders pretty bad.
Yeah, that's for sure. So, but let's take a look ahead to week 8, because it's a bizarre week this week. Bye teams this week, Kevin, are the Atlanta Falcons, the Dallas Cowboys, the Chargers, and the Tennessee Titans. But let's start with Thursday night's game. We've got Miami at Houston. I think Houston's kind of got this one handled, especially with all the injuries Miami has. They're still starting Brock Osweiler. As we said earlier in the show, Jacksonville and Philadelphia put on a London game at 9:30 Eastern AM. Sir Blake Bortles, this is a make or break game for either of these two teams, Kevin.
That is a 6:30 AM showing for West Coast people.
Yes.
They need to fix that. That is just ridiculous. Yeah.
But would you agree with me, though? This is a make-or-break game for both of those teams. Their seasons might be on the line.
Oh, yeah. Game. Oh, yeah, that's huge. They both have the Philadelphia's at, what, 3-4? And what was Jacksonville?
Also 3-4.
Yeah. Also. No, this is huge. This is big for both of them. Yeah.
Cleveland at Pittsburgh, a rematch from week 1 where they finished tied. I think Pittsburgh has become a lot better, but I think this is one of those kind of times where you throw it out the window because these two teams hate each other.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
Rematch from Monday Night Football a few weeks back, but this time the Denver Broncos are going to the Kansas City Mahomes.
Another primetime game with your Chiefs.
This is a 1 o'clock game.
Oh, is it 1 o'clock? Okay, I was like, God, another prime time.
I was talking
one?
About a rematch from the Monday Night Football game.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Okay.
In Arrowhead, Denver is not the same team they were even 3 weeks ago, Kevin.
It's true.
They took it to the Arizona Cardinals, but everybody's taking it to the Arizona Cardinals. New York Jets at Chicago. This is a who cares game, Kevin.
Is it?
I kind
of. Is it for Chicago?
I think so. Well, after Chicago, maybe not. They're trying to stay in it, but I mean, as far as I think, unless you're invested in one of these two teams, it's not one of those ones you're going to seek out on TV.
For obvious reasons, I'm rooting for the Jets in this.
Yep. I have a question. Washington at the New York Giants. How are the Redskins only favored by 1 over the Giants?
I don't get this. I don't either.
Yeah. Okay.
Is there something we don't know? Are they smarter? The people that do the betting lines, are they smarter than us?
On that one, I have no idea. But Seattle-Detroit, this is an interesting game between two kind of interesting teams right now. I think that could be highly entertaining. Tampa Bay at Cincinnati. I think Tampa might be in trouble because I think Cincinnati is going to take out some frustration from Sunday night on the Buccaneers. Baltimore-Carolina, this game is very interesting. This Baltimore's got to be coming off a very frustrating game, and Carolina just seems to squeak out games this year. One way, they just find a way to win right now. So this is going to be very interesting. The battle for the number one pick, Indianapolis at Oakland.
Wouldn't that be the battle for the number one pick? Wouldn't that be Arizona and
Indianapolis is right in that mix too. Indianapolis only has 2 wins. So
yeah.
actually what really might be the battle. The number one pick is in high contest this week because San Francisco is at Arizona.
There you go. There you go. Arizona's Sunday, favored by one at home.
Yep. Well, a new offensive coordinator for Arizona, too, as they jettisoned Mike McCoy right after that game on Thursday night and promoted Byron Leftwich to their offense.
Byron Leftwich, nice.
Afternoon game, 4:25 Eastern. This is an interesting one. Green Bay at the Rams. There's some interesting things there. You never know what Aaron Rodgers is going to do.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
But I see Todd Gurley running all over that Green Bay defense.
God, what a monster that guy is, Todd Gurley. Yeah.
Sunday night, my premier game of the week, the rematch from the playoffs. New Orleans at Minnesota. Minnesota favored by one. Could we have another Minnesota miracle, Kevin?
Yeah, Minnesota's playing well, too. This is going to be a good game. You want to take a bet on who Chris is going to have a man crush on?
I'm going Adam Thielen.
Yeah, you think so?
It's either him or Drew Brees.
And
Monday Night Football, the game nobody cares about, and the announcing team nobody cares about, New England at Buffalo. Really?
Yeah. Really? Are we going to touch on that?
Let's touch on that right now. Monday Night Football is almost unwatchable this season.
I cannot stand the crew there, and I'm sorry, but I cannot take a guy on the sidelines who has been called booger all of his life unless he's going to be a belching contest and have some nerd buddies. I can't even the two main guys, I don't even know who they are. Their play-by-play sucks. There's no personality. And again, Booger, really?
Okay. But Booger? Here's the thing. Yeah, but Booger has the most personality of the three of them by far, and maybe the most NFL knowledge. Let's talk about this real quick, because ESPN did a major change in their Monday night booth after Gruden left. They let Mike Tirico go as well. And of course,
that was such a mistake.
The current booth is Joe Tessitore, who they promoted from their college football games. Retired Cowboys tight end Mark Witten, who had no broadcasting experience at all. I think they were thinking they were going to get that Tony Romo effect. Just because you're a retired Cowboy doesn't mean you're going to be good in the booth. And then Booger McFarland down on the sidelines in some kind of crane contraption, which is really starting to irk fans at the game because it's blocking their views. But they pay top money for those front row seats, and they get to look at Booger McFarland and his crane instead of the football field.
Yeah.
These guys and ESPN just seems to have this thing where they like to have the camera on the back of these guys' heads or in them in the booth or down on the sideline with Booger McFarland while the game is going on. ESPN needs to lose Monday Night Football, Kevin. It needs to go back to ABC or something. Tessitore is not a bad broadcaster. I just don't think he's an NFL broadcaster. Mark Witten was just not. Or Jason Witten was not just ready to be in the booth yet. Booger McFarland was great on college football, and he has a good energy to him. But yeah, it's Booger McFarland. So
yeah,
I don't think ESPN is going to pull the plug on them after this season unless something really drastic happens. I think they'll
bring back Dennis Miller.
No,
it's better than these guys.
Okay. Real quick, Kevin, before we go to a break, your favorite Monday Night Football booth.
Gosh. Recently, I like Tirico.
Tirico's always good.
You know, Madden.
Madden and Michaels.
Yeah, that, you know, and I'm not just saying because I'm a Raider, but when you had Al Michaels doing the play-by-play, and the color commentary by Madden was good because he knew everything.
Oh yeah,
you know but I would say that those two right there were my favorite.
Okay, I'm gonna preface this. I think Dream Team wise, by far Madden and Michaels were probably the best of my lifetime. But the booth that I kind of really grew up on watching my football in my younger days was the Al Michaels, Frank Gifford, Dan Dierdorf booth.
Dan Dierdorf annoyed me, though. I could not stand Dan Dierdorf. I just, that's why I didn't do that one. But, You know, the other two guys were good, definitely.
I will say this, though. This booth is not as bad as when they put Tony Kornheiser in the booth.
Who?
The pardon the interruption guy. But
yeah, I know.
So, well, with that, we're going to take a quick little break, tell you about what else is going on here on the Fandom Podcast Network, and then we will be back with our mediocre fantasy football advice and, of course, our Jimmy GQ pick Man Crush of the Week and kicking some people off Fantasy Island. The plane, boss. The plane.
Thank you for listening. We hope you're enjoying this podcast. We'd like to recommend these other great podcasts on the Fandom Podcast Network. It starts with our flagship show, Culture Clash, our weekly pop culture podcast with the latest news, reviews, and other fun topics in pop culture. Also, Blood of Kings, a Highlander podcast where we discuss all things Highlander. Couch Potato Theater, our podcast celebrating the cult classic and fan favorite movies we don't get off the couch for. Time Warp, a look back on our classic and nostalgic fandoms that we still celebrate today. The End Zone, our podcast talking about all things current in the NFL and giving our best mediocre fantasy football advice. Good Evening, an Alfred Hitchcock podcast. Discoville, a Star Trek Discovery and the Orville podcast. The Hair Metal Podcast, if you're a hard rock music fan, the Hair Metal Podcast rediscovers the nostalgia of the 1980s hair metal bands. And Type 40, a Doctor Who podcast, as we discuss all things Doctor Who, past and present. You can find these great shows on the Fandom Podcast Master Feed at fpnet.podbean.com. The Fandom Podcast Network is on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, Google Play. On Facebook, you can find us at Fandom Podcast Network. On Instagram, we are at Fandom Podcast Network. And on Twitter, at FanPod Network. You can also email us directly at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening and support the Fandom Podcast Network. And remember, respect others and enjoy your fandom.
Well, we hope you're enjoying everything else that's going on here around the Fandom Podcast Network. But once again, it is the time for that end zone staple of mediocre fantasy football advice. But it is the top-notch mediocre fantasy football advice. Oh, wait. Newsflash, we have a trade.
Where am I going?
The Raider nerd Kevin Reitzel has been traded from the London Monarchs to the Toronto Argonauts of the CFL. He's following the career path of one Rocket Ishmael.
Hey, I'm good with that. I like the Toronto Argonauts. All right, cool. All right. I like those guys. Although the weird, was it three downs and that were they still put that goalpost?
But he will be eating a lot of Tim Hortons donuts and a lot of Canadian beer in his future. So,
okay, I don't have a problem with the Tim Horton donuts. So good. Yes. So good.
So, okay, Kevin, I'm invoking a rule for me when it involves the Jimmy GQ Man Crush Award for this season. For the rest of the season.
I wonder if we're going to have the same pick.
Well, no, but first I'm invoking the rule for me. I am retiring Patrick Mahomes for this season because he could win this every week easily and without much argument right now. So I am officially retiring my ability to name Patrick Mahomes the Jimmy GQ Man Crush of the Week.
Thank God.
Okay. He's just the honorary winner for the year. But I am still sticking
You know what's annoying is, like, I like the guy, you know? If he was like a douche or something, it'd be easier to hate him, but I can't hate the guy.
But I am sticking with my homeboys for the pick of the week, Kevin, because of his matrix move on the Sunday Night Football and his three touchdowns, one Kareem Hunt for my...
Oh, is that your man crush?
Jimmy GQ Man Crush of the Week, because he was making like Keanu Reeves in the Matrix on that one run.
Yeah, what is up with that, man? Wasn't that also... Chris's Man Crush Night 2 award.
He started off that way and then he kind of veered from it. But I mean, I thought he was tackled in the backfield. He came out of nowhere, like, wait a minute. Wasn't he down? And then did that leap hurdle over one of the Bengals defenders.
Calm down. You okay?
I think I pulled a groin.
Did you pull a groin in that Man Crush celebration there?
I might have pulled because I might have tried to duplicate that leap and it didn't go well.
Yeah, well, I gotta say, man, that was insane. That was insane, man.
But he did have three touchdowns, about 80-plus yards rushing, some nice receiving numbers as well, and Cincinnati couldn't tackle him on the first first hit all night. He was bouncing guys off of him.
It's but, almost like you weren't trying. Jeez.
Yeah. Kevin, who is your man crush of the week?
My man crush of the week is Adam Thielen.
Got it.
100 receiving yards in seventh straight game. If we were to redraft fantasy right now, he would be a top five. This dude has been money. Stephon Diggs, who?
Yeah. Okay, Kevin, I have a question for you on this. Realistically, if these performances keep up, should we add Todd Gurley and Adam Thielen to the retired honoree?
you mean for the rest of the week? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. We'll have to discuss that going in. But damn, Adam Thielen, man, what is going on? The dude is just on fire, man. Crazy.
Hey, I'm going to say it now. Adam Thielen channeling his inner Steve Largent.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, that dude's just been on fire. I have him in a couple leagues. And I remember there was a couple of times where I drafted him over Stephon Diggs. Mm-hmm. And then there was one time I drafted him because Stephon Diggs was taken. Kind of happy about that.
Yep. Okay, Kevin. The plane is leaving. Who are we expelling from Fantasy Island?
Oh, my God.
I have a pick.
Go ahead. What's your pick?
There is only one option. Blake Bortles, you are expelled from Fantasy Football Island. Hashtag Kyle hates Blake Bortles.
Yes! It's back! But what's funny about this is I feel this is more deserved this year than it was last year. Oh, you have expelled Blake Bortles from fantasy. I love that. So apparently you had the same conversation with his coach, too, because he did the same thing.
So who are you expelling from Fantasy Island this week, Kevin?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, there's a few to choose from. Well, I've already expelled Amari Cooper.
He might return, though.
Yeah, you don't know how if he's actually going to be productive in of course, he probably will be in Dallas there. I keep thinking running backs right now, whether it's Duke Johnson or I'm having trouble with Frank Gore, man.
Frank Gore's still putting up some numbers. He's killing Kenyon Drake right now.
Kenyon Drake went off last week.
Yeah, but most of his scoring came on one play, a 56-yard touchdown run.
Oh, man, it's
Kevin. There is a running back you could expel. I just don't know if you emotionally can handle it right now.
Who's that?
Marshawn Lynch.
Oh, I already did that. Yeah, okay. Yeah, but because he got injured, I can't.
No, you. I tried to do that last week, and he's injured. He's expelled from the football.
Who?
When I brought up, who was it? There was somebody.
Because I think if someone gets injured, it's a different situation. I don't, who's your guy then? Which guy are you talking about?
There's somebody I brought up last week. I said he's been injured, and you were like, no, we're still expelling him from fantasy football. It was Quincy Ewanwah.
Well, he was – no, hold on. Before he got injured, he was going downhill anyway.
Yeah, but he was injured.
But I was saying because of on his previous previous record before he got injured. So that's why I said that. So let me clarify that. Can I put a team on notice?
You can put a team on notice.
Yeah, I want to put the Jacksonville Jaguars defense on notice right now. Oh my gosh! Yeah.
Can I put somebody on notice too while you're doing more central?
Yeah, please.
I'm going to put new Arizona Cardinals offensive coordinator Byron Leftwich on notice.
Oh, that's soon. He hasn't even had a chance to play a game yet.
The reason why I say this is because you have the opportunity to turn somebody who has killed many a fantasy team this year, one David Johnson, around because the previous offensive coordinator had no clue how to use David Johnson.
This is very – that's a good call. That's a good call. I also want to put Davin Cook on notice as well. But because he's been injured, I'm going to let him go. Hopefully when he comes back after that bye week, we'll see what's going on there. Can we put – kickers off Fantasy Island?
like every kicker?
Okay, you know who I'm going to put on notice? Yeah. Kyle Rudolph.
Yeah, he's been kind of quiet. It's all been, but it's all because of that vacuum cleaner named Thielen.
Yeah.
Everything just sucks in every football. It's in the air.
What do we do? See, what are we doing in our league here? So,
should we talk about pickups for this week?
No. Before we do that, I want to talk about, there was a couple games that I wanted to talk about. Remember that?
Yeah.
So you and I were playing against each other.
To talk about this game?
ESPN, was it ESPN? No, it was our NFL league, right?
NFL league, yes. Are you sure you want to talk about this game?
What's that?
Are you sure you want to talk about this game?
And you decided you had the Denver defense.
Yeah, I had the Denver defense. And they scored
47 points! 47 points! I go into a hole on Thursday night. I hate Thursday night games, by the way. 47 points.
Oh, not now, but let's fast forward to Sunday, because until Sunday night football, we were bouncing back and forth by 2 points here, 2 points there, and going into Sunday night football, you had a nice little lead going.
Did I?
You were up by like 40 points going into Sunday night football.
No. Because is it Sunday night football? Oh, yeah. I was thinking going into Monday night. That's right, because Monday night was...
Monday night, I had a nice lead after you were Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, I did get Patrick Mahomes. It sucked.
Okay. I have to confess this about our ESPN league, and I've actually kept kind of quiet about this because I'm afraid to jinx it, but I might have the best two players in fantasy football on our ESPN league. I have Todd Gurley and Patrick Mahomes.
Yep. Yes, you do. Yep.
If I had Thielen, I think they might kick me out of the league and put an inquisition on me.
And I want to talk about our ESPN league here, because, and this is why I hate these. There's two issues I have. First of all, these London games start at 9:30 a.m. Eastern time. Mm-hmm. This has got to change. This is absolutely stupid. But so that's one issue I have. But so Melvin Gordon
in your ESPN league.
In my ESPN league, all of a sudden, okay, I did not know that he popped up on the injury list all of a sudden on a Friday. I think
it was a game time decision too.
But that's the thing. It was like Friday, not Wednesday, not Thursday. No one knew what was going on. So I just thought he was an automatic plug and play. You know, he's been balling out, right?
Yep.
And then at like 9 a.m. apparently our time, he's ruled out.
Yeah.
And I couldn't do anything about it because I was at work and it was busy. I work Sunday mornings. And what's made it most frustrating was that not only did he get stuck in my lineup, so that means I got a big fat goose egg, okay? I had Austin Eckler, the backup, sitting on my bench.
Kevin hates London games. Hashtag it.
I hate the London start times. That's what I hate. That was ridiculous. I don't know what is happening there. I don't know why he was all of a sudden ruled out. That is just ridiculous. That pissed me off. Yeah. Anyway.
I can understand that. But didn't you have another issue with one of the games this week as well?
I can't remember.
Philadelphia, I want to say.
You mean the trade thing, or what are you talking about?
But you said we would talk about something with the Philadelphia game later.
No, I don't think it was Philadelphia. I think it was these two. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Gotcha.
So the running backs for Philadelphia, I can't rely on. Those guys are pissing me off.
So let's talk about standings then before we talk about waiver wire pickups, where we are at in our leagues here, Kevin.
Oh, yeah, I guess we must do that, right?
Yeah.
Okay, what are we looking at first? You want to do ESPN first?
Yeah, so let's do ESPN first, because that is a hot mess.
Wait, where's the league? There we go. Okay, so ESPN league. We actually do it by division. We have an East and a West. The East team. what do we have here? Is it? Okay, so it's still up for grabs.
Everything is up for grabs. I'm just looking at the standings and how everybody, it's just one big jumbled mess for the most
yes.
part.
Yes. So in the East, you and I are at the bottom at 3-4, but there's a three-way tie at 4-3 for everyone else.
Yeah. And the West isn't that much better.
Yes. My buddy Charles, he's at 5-2, and then it's 3-3. The four teams are tied at 3-4. This is actually interesting if you think about it.
Yeah, and that's what I say. You can say jumbled mess. Is
yes,
what it is.
But it there's no clear cut loser here, which is good. You know, I like this.
But
okay.
Let's talk about the league that matters, the Trophy League.
Do we have to?
Yeah, we have to.
Kyle's excited because the Trophy League, where the winner gets a trophy, he's in first place right now at 6-1. I'm at third place at 4-3. Would have been different if I would have not gone up against Denver and got Patrick Mahomes. but I'm in third place. So, yeah. Yeah.
I just want to say I am the Kansas City Chiefs of our ESPN league because there's only one team that's got more points than I do, and that's the Batmouse Ballers. However, I have the worst defense, apparently, in the league is because I have had the most points scored upon me, and it's really not even close.
Jeez, gosh. Now, you have another league or two that you do, too, as well? How are you doing in those?
I have a CBS Sports League, which I'm 4-3 in, and in the division I'm in, I am in third place, a half a game behind the second-place team as they have a tie. So that is my other league that I'm in, and, of course, you're in about 10 leagues, right?
Five, yeah. I think I'm in like third or fourth place with my Raider club. Our former president is ahead at 6-1 right now. He's doing quite well. And I think I'm in second place in the Silver and Black UK League right now. And Adam Thielen is on my team. Well, so there we are.
Yep. So let's talk a few waiver wire pickups, Kevin, because there's a few interest, not too many. And by the way, I have to address something. Miss Jennifer Walk tried to call me out about my Nick Chubb pickup because I picked him up in the NFL and ESPN league, but I did it after the show aired. And this was after the Carlos Hyde trade, because at the time I had not picked him up until after the Carlos Hyde trade was announced.
That was smart. You picked him up like a few minutes before I would have.
So, I did not. I want to say something. Anybody who I say is worth a pickup, I will not pick them up in leagues I am current, in leagues that involve both Kevin and I, because I do not think that would be fair. That is a right thing to do. Kevin and I record these podcasts usually on Tuesday or Wednesday. Usually it's Tuesday before waiver wire pickups are officially posted. So... I just want to say, I think there was a little accusation there of, oh, yeah, Kyle picks up the players, and then he says he should be recommended. It's like, no. So,
no, you targeted him before the waiver wire.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean,
I didn't pick him up until after the trade was announced, though.
Plus, you know, you were going off what the rumors that, and also their coach, was talking about getting him. It was Hugh Jackson was talking about getting him more involved anyway after that last game. So, yeah. You know, you have to, this is stuff you have to listen to if you're, and pay attention to when you're doing fantasy, you know?
So, okay. So let's talk about waiver wire pickups. It starts with me with Danny Amendola, because now that Albert Wilson is out, Devontae Parker is still injured. There's not that many receivers left. Brock Osweiler has to throw to somebody. I also like Chris Ivory, now that we know LeSean McCoy is going to be out a couple weeks in concussion protocol. Tyrell Williams, if you have not picked this guy up yet, he had another monster touchdown.
And he's on a bye right now, which means some people probably may have dropped him.
Yep. Running backs, there's not too many. We're getting to that point where injuries and other things are thinking out, but Doug Martin and Jalen Richard with Marshawn Oakland. Oakland, but then again, I don't know if I'd pick up anybody on Oakland.
I picked up Chris Carson in a league because someone dropped him because of the bye situation, I picked him up.
I would have snagged him too.
But who's his backup again?
Rashard Penny, who hasn't done
anything. The other guy.
Mike Davis.
Yeah, I would pick him up too, just in case, because he was doing all right. I got someone I want to throw out. We talked about him last week, and he ended up doing well. If you haven't already, Kirk from Arizona, Christian Kirk from Arizona.
And finally, to another running back who fantasy people have been talking about all year long and hasn't done anything. Finally, did something last week. That's Ronald Jones, the second running back, Tampa Bay. He finally got a touchdown. They might finally start getting him a little bit more involved in Tampa because Peyton Barber just can't seem to get it going, but they can't seem to get any running back going.
And I got a dark horse, too, if you haven't already. He's been making noise. Is Raheem Mostert, San Francisco running back.
One final one for me. Actually, two. It's both from Tampa Bay. Adam Humphries, if you're in a PPR, Jameis likes to throw to him a lot. And, of course, still available in a lot of leagues, Chris Godwin.
Yes. Yep. Good call.
So, yep. One other one is, if you haven't picked up Nick Chubb, but I think pretty much everybody did. And also, kind of keep an eye on the Patriots running back situation. Sony Michel got injured, but they're saying he's week to week. He could very well be back this week, but if not, there's Vernon Barner, who played a lot of snaps in that Chicago game. So, those are kind of some fantasy waiver wire things. So we got one final thing to address, Mr. Reitzel, before we get out of here. How do we do head-to-head this week?
Yeah, so going into this week, I was up by 11. This is our weekly football picks where we bet on each game and we keep track of the points. Where at the end of the season, the loser finds a brand new $1 bill and brags about how awesome the winner is and, you know, does something pretty with it and puts it in a frame. It's fun football, you know, dominance type stuff. So, yeah. So you made a little bit of a comeback. You ended up, winning, 7-6. We tied on the New England and Chicago game. So you gained one game on this. So now I'm only up by 10. And then we do a fun little, pick of the week where we pick an underdog that we've taken with points to actually upset and win. We did not get that this week, but I am currently up 3-2 on that right now.
What was depressing for me this week was Chicago got a couple of late touchdowns to cover that spread. And, you know, if Justin Tucker makes that extra point, that game goes into overtime. And there was a very good chance New Orleans wins that game and covers the spread we had set for that game.
That's right. I had the 2.5. Baltimore on the 2.5.
Yep. So. Yeah. So
now there's something else. Hold on. We need to mention something going into next week that I think that I don't know if we've mentioned to the listeners is that we have this bonus point thing that we set up prior to the football bets that we do here. The fun football bets is we pick who we think what AFC and NFC team are going to meet in the Super Bowl. We call that our 10-point Super Bowl pick. And then we have a rule where we can adjust that pick when week 9 comes around the following week, but it's only worth 5 points. So going into week 8 here, we have your Super Bowl pick was the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Los Angeles Rams, and mine is the New England Patriots. Hold on. Mine is New England Patriots and the Los Angeles Rams. So how are you feeling about your Jacksonville Jaguars?
I thought you had the Vikings because you couldn't take the Rams because I took the Rams.
No.
Okay. I thought it was
because I took the Rams. We just can't have the same two teams. We can't have the same two teams because it would make the bet. But no, I did not pick the Vikings, sir. I wrote mine in pen. Didn't you do that?
Okay. Yeah. Well, no. But I'm still. It was that erasable pen.
No. Nice try.
Jacksonville.
You're going to be adjusting your to a 5-point thing, right? Yeah. The way things are going, I'm going to stick with my my pick of New England and the Rams right now.
That makes sense. So, well, Kevin, I'm feeling it. We were getting down to that last 2-minute warning here. We've got to be better at clock management than the New York Giants.
Yes, this is true. So am I going to finish out my season with the Toronto Argonauts, it looks like? You think they'll keep me?
Wait. Yep, wait. I got it.
No.
final trade. The trade deadline will be locked in place after this. You've been traded one more time. You've been put on IR for the remainder of the season, first of all.
With the Toronto Argonauts?
No. You were put on IR. Even though you're injured, the league is allowing this trade, and you will be a member of the London Raiders next season.
I'll go with that. Everyone's for sale. Who do we got? Fire sale at the Raiders. There we go.
Do you like fish and chips, Kevin?
Love fish and chips, man. I love it. I'm good with that. They make good stuff over there.
Well, with that, I can't say any Raider players because I don't know if they have anybody who can make it to the end zone at this point. But we'll make like Todd Gurley, who is probably the master of finding his way into the end zone.